Back at it, Homegrown Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head.
West Coast.
We got one of the leaders of the new school in the house with us right now.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Corday, what's going on, bro?
What's up with y'all? How y'all feeling?
Feeling great, man.
My nigga Corday.
What up, hey? How you feeling, man?
Man, listen.
What's up? Good to see you.
Okay, now listen. Before we get into anything, what year did you move to L.A.?
2018. Yeah.
18, 20, 21. 4 years ago.
Yeah. About like middle, late 2018.
So about three and a half. About three and some change?
Yes, sir.
So you got about a year and a half left before you're on that Mount Rushmore of new generations. I told you, you were sitting right here. And I was like, I'm going to give you 5 years before they start putting you in them conversations. Do you remember
that? Say less. Yeah, I got you.
You got a year
Say
and a
less.
Half.
That's that time, for sure.
You got it. You doing it, though. I'm proud
appreciate
of you, bro.
That. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Do you step up to the plate when those conversations happen? Or are you welcoming to it? Or are you just like, yo, just let the music speak for itself?
Yeah, I'm more of definitely a, like, let the music speak for itself in a way. And just I just try to make good music, man, above all else. You know, I just try to make good music and where, like, people herald me or put me at. Like, I appreciate all genuine love and support I get, because at the end of the day, man, don't nobody owe you nothing.
Right, nothing.
Sure. And I think, you know, my boy told me this the other day. He was like, entitlement is only going to lead to disappointment.
Right.
And so I don't feel like any self of entitlement from anybody or anything. So any love and support I get from anybody, especially from peers or anybody within this ecosystem, music that we in, I appreciate that. So I say all that to say, man, I'm just here to make as much good music as I possibly can to the best of my capabilities and the best of my abilities. And that's if that's where I'm heralding, let's go. I appreciate it.
You for sure. I know you get it. I know a lot of, because there's a lot of people in the last 3.5 years that have come around, I'll say.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Before, obviously, you was doing the freestyles and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And now you are an established recording artist.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, nominations, like,
yeah,
all that. Congrats.
Nah, thank you, bro. That means a lot. You've been rocking with me too early.
Bro, I told you you was the guy. Nah. I heard you rap. I heard two raps of yours. I was like, yeah, he's the guy. Like,
that's
nah.
He's the guy. So but from a bird's eye view, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I think it's a great body of work.
I appreciate
you
that.
You know what I'm saying? I would tell you if it wasn't.
You sure would. You sure would.
How do you receive criticism when people maybe tell you some shit is trash or ain't good? Like,
yeah.
Do you take it with a grain of salt, or do you try to fight back and kind of give them perspective? Like, yo, this is where I'm at with this. Because a lot of it really is subjective sometimes. And a lot of times, you know, it's what people really like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for you.
I mean, luckily for me, I don't really hear that too often. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe
I
got a light flex right there.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Maybe I just got a bunch of yes men around me, you know, but I'm playing, but I say that to say, you know, fortunately for me, like, I've only gotten, like, pretty good reviews for the most part. You know, music is a subjective thing, so it's always going to be, like, a small percentage of, like, who don't like it, and it's going to be a bunch of people who do like it or love it, but I never let what other people say about my music get me on too much of a high horse. I can't let what people think of me or my music put me on a high horse to make me feel super high, because if I put out something they don't love, it can't bring me down,
right.
You know? So I just try to stay even keel as far as what other people's, like, musical opinions of my music, you know, how it makes me feel, like, when I drop, even, like, with this body work, I just dropped this joint, and I've been getting a lot of praise, a lot of love for it. Like, a lot of my peers been texting me, like, yo, like, this is, like, I can see the growth from the first one. Like, I'm loving
Facts.
It. And that means a lot to me, too. Like, as much as, like, I appreciate and love all the fan love and support, they've been showing me a lot of love when, like, my peers, and not just the ones, you know what I'm saying, text me, like, dog, like, I love this. It's, like, my favorite joint out right now. That means a lot to me. But I say that to say I never let that get me too much on the high pedestal, because if it's not that, it'll get you low. You get what I'm saying? Right, so right.
Well, what's dope about you is I haven't heard a whack Corday song.
Mm.
And that's saying a lot, because I hear a lot of whack shit. You know what I'm saying?
I would imagine.
But I have yet to hear a whack Cordae song. And then also,
it exists, nigga. Yeah. Just stay on the hard drive.
Keep that shit on the hard drive.
For sure.
I saw an episode of, like, I forgot it was on MTV, and I saw 50 Cent. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how artists say, oh, I put this out for me. And he was like, bro, that's bullshit. If it's for you, leave that shit on your hard drive. put the shit out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want to hear the shit. We don't want to hear the shit. That's bullshit. But I'm glad you said that. But anyway, when the album came out, I was listening to it, and it changed. I think there's a couple of songs that I didn't hear when I came to the studio.
Yeah.
It slightly changed. How many versions of From a Bird's Eye View are there?
A bunch. And I played it for you a while ago. Before I even dropped that 4-pack EP, I played you the album. And I just go with all different type of frequency sounds. It's only two songs that I didn't put on the album that I like really loved. Every single song on this album is a song that was like my favorite song that I made at that time. Like when I made Coach Carter, that was like my favorite song of mine at the time for like the next like 3 weeks to a month. When I first made Want For Me and finished that all the way out, I was like, man, this is like one of my best songs. And that, I could honestly say I felt that way for every single song. It gave me like that feeling of emotion of like, wow, this is like, I really rock with that. And they just happened to fit together in a cohesive, you know, storyline and body of work. And that's what's most important to me.
Why'd you take the other two off?
They just didn't fit.
They didn't fit the mood, the sonic, the emotion?
Yeah, exactly. It would have been like, okay, I got a song that's already within like the same proprietor as this, or like the same sound waves and frequencies as this, but it might be stronger or fits in with the body of work better.
Got you.
Now, when do you know you're done with an album? Because I'm pretty sure that the process is probably different, right?
So yeah.
You start, you kind of have this body of work, you have a lot of songs, you get it down. What's the checklist for you when you say, okay, yeah, I've gotten it complete now, it's ready for the world?
I just know, honestly.
It's a feeling.
Like, it's a feeling, yeah, exactly. It's not like, okay, I got the song for the females, I got this shit for the club, nigga. I got this for this.
This me talking like, shit.
Yeah. Nah, it's just like, did I get the idea? This idea, this point that I wanted to get across, is like it fully finished? Is it? Because you know, this album is truly only 10 songs. It's 10 songs and
right. Two interludes. Yeah.
And but I felt like I got my thoughts across, and it goes through easily enough. You know, I got the 2 bonus tracks. But between like Shallow's intro and Westlake High 1 through 12, it's only 10 songs. And I just wanted to be an easy listen.
I felt like it was a perfect follow up to The Lost Boy.
Thank you.
Because, you know, at that moment, I've heard you say on plenty of platforms that, you know, this is a multi perspective album.
Yeah.
Right? The Lost Boy was like the journey. Right?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And this is like, you zoomed out, you're like, okay, more or less know myself a little bit more, and I can speak on an elevated perspective. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what I got from it.
Nah, for sure. Nah, you spot on. And I kind of like to let like the listener take away their own message from the album. I don't like to give you, okay, nah, this is what the album should make you feel.
Right.
This is what you should take away from it. Nah, you should listen to it and get whatever message you get, because we all different human beings. It's like music is such like a subjective thing. You know what I'm saying? And so everybody should take away their own feelings for it.
Do you think now, first of all, you had your brother.
Get this dog.
You had your brother on the intro, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the 2 interludes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
When was that done? Did you already have that? Because I didn't hear that when I came to the studio. Like, was that something that you added, or were you already planned? You always plan to do that?
Yeah, I always plan to do it. And I just had to add the instrumentation behind it. You know, I wanted to score it, if you would. Like him rapping, I just thought that was something that's dope. Got somebody just rapping from a jail phone, but we scoring this shit like it's a fucking movie, you know? And bringing it to real life. And so that's something I always had intended to, because it's like From a Bird's, it's kind of an ironic thing because, you know, the album's From a Bird's Eye View, but the intro is somebody speaking from the perspective of the caged bird, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy. It's something else. Oh, Coach Carter.
Yeah.
One of your favorite songs. You said niggas told me I was stupid for hiring friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I think it was Big Sean just told the story about how Hove and Kanye told him to fire his homie because he was taking pictures and shit in the studio when they were all hanging out. Have you had any horror stories like with hiring friends, or is that something that you stand by wholeheartedly?
Yeah, that's so funny, man.
Always let the homies film you, or you let the homies like bro manage.
Yeah, nah, they don't. Yeah, because a lot of times they don't be knowing how to move and operate at a high level space. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times I'm pulling up on like a yay or somebody that's like super high level like that. I'm gonna just move on my own accord because they might say some stupid shit to Kanye West. You know what I'm saying? They might say some dumb shit to Jay-Z. And, like, that's a reflection of me. Facts. You know what I'm saying? Until we get to the point where I'm like, niggas is ready. Because it's a dick. You just got to know how to move. Like, in certain rooms, I'm going to bring the friends with me everywhere. Right, right. You know, the homies with me everywhere. But it's certain. It's like, nah, nigga, I barely know how to move in this space. Mm. And I've been doing this at a high level for a couple years now. So I barely know how to move in this space. So I can't even afford me having a realistic look of where I currently stand, nigga. I can't afford for you to say some dumb shit.
To fuck this up.
For me, you know what I'm saying? For all of us, because, nigga, if I'm down, nigga, we all fall finna down, be down. Yeah. So, I definitely got some homie horror stories, for sure. Like, I had it's one.
You have to say his name. You know what I'm saying?
It's the funny thing is, this wasn't even, like, a homie that I grew up with. This was, like, on some...
A new homie.
Yeah. So DJ, awesome. My DJ at the time.
Okay.
I don't give a fuck, honestly. It's my nigga. You know who I don't want to say your name too bad, but I had this rule. This is like early on. This is the Juice WRLD tour. When I'm opening up for Juice WRLD, I had one rule.
Rest in peace to Juice WRLD.
Rest in peace to Juice WRLD. I had one rule. I told this nigga, I'm like, I told everybody on the bus, like, yo, bro, don't bring no females on this bus. Right. This is before I even, you know what I'm saying, was in my situation. I just always move military. I'm like, bro, whatever you do that on your own time and the real obvious, it go without saying, don't do no sucker shit, you feel me? But I'm just like, yo, don't bring no female on this bus.
Right.
Let's just cut off everything. Don't bring no female on this bus.
Let's set the standard.
Let's set the standard. And I wake up and this nigga brought a female on the fucking bus. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like in the back. And I go in the back and I'm like, okay, this, unless it's like your girlfriend.
Right.
That's my whole thing. If queen, this is like your girl, nigga, like, don't bring nobody on this bus.
Random, yeah.
So I'm thinking this nigga's girlfriend.
Oh.
So I'm back there. I'm, you know, being hospitable or whatever, having a conversation with a blase blah, just on some cool shit. Being, you know, cordial, this, yeah. She with the homie, like, whatever. And I'm mad comfortable. I'm in my pajamas. You know what I'm saying?
You got on the flannel joint?
Yeah, the flannels, my do-rag and shit. Like, I think it's like...
You're not Cordae.
Yeah. I'm on some chill shit or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she asked for a picture, and I'm kind of like, okay. Like, I mean, this is my homie, like, girlfriend, right, you know? Right. So, like, I got her all day.
Right.
And this chick like makes like a YouTube thing about like, yo, like my, like for real about like that. I'm like, so he just, so, okay, so I ain't even finished. So I find out through talking to her, because again, I'm thinking this is my homie's like girlfriend. Girl, so I'm trying to be, you know, this still my bus. I'm a real, like, you know, genuine, not genuine. If you call yourself genuine, you're not genuine.
Right.
But I'm a gentleman. I'm from the South. You know what I'm saying? So I just try to be hospitable to everybody. And so I'm talking with her. And from me talking to her, I find out this is definitely not my nigga's junk. You know what I'm saying? And like, I'm like, yo, are you on my bus? Like, how'd you get on here? And I'm like, yo, you need to go home. Like, right. Not in a on no disrespectful shit, kicking around. I'm like, yo.
This after you took the picture.
Yeah, after I took the picture,
and after
by the way.
The YouTube? So she already got
No, not the YouTube. Okay, no. Later, that's okay, months later, okay, I found out.
Gotcha.
But, she was mad sweet, mad cool or whatever. So I tell her, I'm like, she's like on this bus. I'm like, so you just get on a random like rap nigga bus.
And just stay.
And just on here chilling.
When was the red flag though?
Because I didn't know, because I'm just talking, again, I'm thinking this is my nigga's girlfriend. Right. So I'm just having convo with her and it just came up, whatever. I'm like, so you just like on some rap nigga's tour bus. And again, if that's your lifestyle, it ain't it. But she's on here by herself.
Right.
So I'm like, yo, like, you need to go home, man.
She
you
can say anything.
Yo, yeah. Like, for real, she's of age and all of these things, obviously, whatever. But I'm like, yo, you need to go home. I'm like, this girl's out here getting kidnapped. You know what I'm saying? For all you know, shit, niggas could have been on some weirdo shit. You know? I'm like, yo, you need to go home, man. Like, and I don't know, like, get the fuck off, but on some, like, yo, like, just be smart on how you move. And this is like 2018, and this is in DMV area when a bunch of girls are getting kidnapped and all type of shit.
Did she understand
like,
where you was coming
yeah,
from?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nah, it was love. Like, she, matter of fact, even in the YouTube video she made, she's like, yo, I fuck with Cordae super heavy because he just kept it real on some shit like, yo, like, you shouldn't be like just getting on niggas tour. But I told her, I said, in the future reference, bro, you shouldn't, especially if you alone, don't be going on no niggas tour bus. Don't be going in on niggas hotel room if you just by yourself with some niggas you just met. At least have a homegirl or two with you, just on some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so she was just like, man, ever since that day, like, I had a bunch of I always rock with Cordae, but since that day, like, I had a bunch of respect for that nigga. Cause I just told her, like, yo, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Like, you just on, so you just went on a nigga's tour bus. You here, like, by yourself.
Yeah.
Thank God we all chill, cool niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, take your fucking ass home,
facts,
nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? With all love and respect. So I had the homies just make sure she was good and all that. But I say that to say, that was my one rule. I was like, do not bring no joint on my fucking bus. And that, I haven't, bro, I hasn't been on tour since.
Are you serious?
For sure. I don't play that.
Damn.
It, obviously, you had that conversation. He understands now, right? Or was it just like, don't come back on Tuesday?
No, no, no. It was after the tour.
Gotcha.
It was that we're going to finish out
gonna
the tour.
We're
going to finish the tour. It was like, you know, I got to redo my whole set.
Yeah, like, yeah, I got to train somebody to know the drop, the ins and outs of the show.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. We're going to finish this tour, nigga. Yeah. You know, again, he ain't do no wild shit.
Right,
he just took the
crossed that line.
Yeah, exactly. That was my one thing. I'm like, do not bring no junks on this bus.
Facts.
So, yeah.
You were speaking of Juice WRLD, man. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Juice.
That was your first, like, major tour,
yeah,
man.
That was his first, too. I was, obviously, it's his tour.
Right.
He's the headliner, but that was both of our first time ever hitting the road as professional acts, or
that,
just in general.
What was that experience like for you, man? Fresh in the game, getting that experience, and what was those day-to-day conversations with Juice, and just being in that environment?
Man, it was, fire to say. I think fire isn't even the word. It was a dope-ass experience, man, that's going to forever be a part of my legacy. That I'm going to tell my kids, like, boy, man, we different. Boy, my first tour, I was with Juice WRLD. That's
Juice
still
Show, love.
Juice Show, big love. You know, before I got my own tour bus, I was on this nigga's bus. Like, me and my man, my good man, we was on this nigga's bus. And he was just a real nigga, man, to say the least. And I don't like the over-exaggerate or state thing, especially within this ecosystem that we in. You know, niggas be telling and saying, like, shit was deeper than what it was, or more than what it was. But, like, nah, this is, like, really my brother, like, my dog for real, you know? And that tour, man, it was a good time. You know, your first time hitting the road. And
in different cities.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. And so that's something I always cherish.
Did he ever give you any advice or game, like, as far as it could be on tour as far or just as an artist?
Yeah, as an artist, he just worked. He wasn't really giving me advice more so. It was just, he was showing me.
Showing you by actions.
Like, this nigga's working all day, every day. He's going to do he can do a full press run in a day, 8 straight interviews, and still go to the studio and give 12 hours.
Damn.
Straight, no exaggeration,
a machine.
By the way. No exaggeration. You know, just straight machine shit. Like, just going straight in, creating in the studio every day, all day. And so that's like, okay, I see him doing this at a super, you know, that nigga Juice was selling records.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I see what he's doing at this level, and this is what it takes to do that and maintain that. And it definitely put a battery in my back.
And also, speaking of Juice, his freestyle game was unreal.
Mean.
Unreal.
Mean.
Because he did it in front of me, and I didn't believe it.
Now, and it's off the top.
I ain't gonna lie to you, I was very skeptic on the whole Juice hype as far as him, and then he did it in front of me, and I was like, oh, this shit is for real.
Oh yeah, nah.
Did
off
you ever?
The top.
Did y'all ever?
Yes, we got so many freestyles. Like,
okay,
so
did
like,
he get you though?
Okay, no. I would say, let me finish. I would never,
he
you
said,
know.
Okay, hold
let
on.
Me finish. Let me start. You know, I'm from, like, we both cut from that cloth to where, like, we don't ever want to admit. If I would never tell this nigga this while he was here.
right.
But that is for real.
Right.
But, man, the true thing is, like, this is the only nigga I ever met in my life that could just straight pure off the dome go longer than me.
Word.
Like, I'm freestyling. We on the bus, bro, from, like, Milwaukee to damn L.A. freestyling the whole time. I'm going to give you 2-3 hours off the dome nonstop, especially if we going back and forth. This nigga, I'm tired, bro. Like, nigga, God damn, nigga, it's 2 in the morning, bro. You still trying to rap? All right, bro, you got it, bro.
Juice got you to sleep, bro.
But, pause, but.
Oh, yeah, that sounds crazy, yeah.
Yeah, but I say this to say, like, yes, nigga, like, this nigga, this the only nigga off the. Bro, it got to the point wherever we see each other, we just, we don't even say what up no more, nigga. We just start rapping.
Bars, man.
Just bars. Like, it's crazy,
that's
man.
A fire
that nigga off the dome, oh my God. Just love for music and the essence of just like that. Freestyling is like the most core thing of hip hop, you know, because it's free.
Yeah.
You know, it's free forming thought and just on beat and speaking of things. So every time I see this nigga, it's just off the dome.
Do you like, think that art is missing in hip hop today?
Not really, man, because the art of like what? Just freestyling?
Just freestyling.
Nah,
freestyle.
Most niggas freestyle they shit.
A lot of people freestyle.
More niggas freestyle.
We just had 2 Chainz up here, and he said he just be going in the booth. He don't even like take time to rap or, I mean, to write his shit out. He said he's never written. He just go in the booth and just freestyle his verses.
I'm sure 90% of artists today freestyle. I write, honestly, yeah, because yeah. I'm able to, like, for me, everybody got their own creative. You know, way of doing things. But for me personally, I write because I'm able to organize my thoughts a lot better and structure a lot better. Like, I'll freestyle a hook or get, like, the first 4 lines. I'll freestyle just to find, like, that flow, that nuance. But I write for the most part. But every time I'm in the studio with different artists, I'll be having a freestyle because they all freestyling they shit.
Right.
And in order to even, not on no competitive shit, but in order to just keep up with the pace at which niggas are making music,
yeah,
I'm forced to freestyle songs. So Gifted, I did that. We did that whole song essentially off the top freestyling. Wow. The joint I did with Thug, essentially, you know, free, because these are niggas that don't write their music. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying this. Jay-Z don't fucking write.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
Wayne don't write. So, I would say nah. It's definitely not because most people freestyle their shit. Yeah.
I want to talk about Chronicles.
Okay.
Because that's like...
I played that for you, too.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's like my favorite song on the album, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And actually, I think when I heard it, I don't think the features were on there yet.
Nah, it wasn't.
It was just you, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I was like...
This is the one I'm most excited. You was like, super... In Chronicles, you like, that's the one I'm most excited about.
Facts. But this is the funny thing, and maybe you could tell it from your perspective, but the way I remember it happening mm-hmm. was when we was in the studio, I was like, bro, this shit is, I fuck with it, because it was you doing melody, and it was just so different than the bars, right?
Yeah.
And you was like, really? I'm like, yes. And I don't know if you know, but I was paying attention. You grabbed your phone, and you ducked off and called Boy Wonder.
Yeah.
And you was like, yo, I want to make sure that I got this beat is mine, right?
Like, yeah, nah, for sure. I'll be doing nobody, that. Man. Cause you know, especially when it's like super high level producers, you know, they be giving their shit the like, you know, whatever, nigga, before you know, you don't know who else they sent that beat to. So I was just like, yo, nigga, like.
You was like, y'all in the studio right now.
Cause that reminded me. Yeah. Like, yo, nigga, like, yo, like.
It's me, right?
Say this me, nigga. Oh, it wasn't even asking. Like, I was asking, of course. I'm fucking around, but yeah. I'm like, yo, nigga, like, I needs this.
And shout out to our homies. Shout out to Fredo and the whole A+ family. They just did the video.
Oh yeah,
I like the video, bro.
Thank you.
And I think that I think her. Me personally, I'm not an R&B fan at all. Like, I don't like R&B. I don't listen to
it. I'm a huge R&B fan.
I don't have emotions like that. Like, okay. I'm emotionally, what is the girl
disconnected?
Say? Unavailable.
Okay.
I'm emotionally unavailable.
Nice.
So.
You've heard that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit, you had that motherfucker right here, nigga. Like,
yeah, yeah. So, but her, to me, is so underrated mainstream-wise.
Yeah.
Like, for you to put her on your single.
You think so?
I'm talking in the culture, like in the critics and the artists fuck with her.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
The average person don't appreciate her the same way that the industry does.
Yeah, for sure.
If that makes
sense. Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? So I think that she's one of those special gems that when people really, really tap in, it's going to be next level.
Yeah, nah, she's one of those ones, bro. Like, she's honestly a very good friend of mine. Like, since like the very, very beginning of my career. Like, for real, we got a bunch of joints together. You know, she gave me my first national TV look.
Facts.
For the BET Awards. She called me like 2 days before the BET Awards and like, yo, I need you to blase blah.
2 days before.
2 days before she called me. So I will forever have all the love. You know what I'm saying? Cause you know, like She didn't have to do that. Right. You know, that was a big moment for me in my career at the time. That was huge for me. So she gave me that look. So I'm forever, like, grateful and appreciative of that, amongst other things. But, yeah, like, she's just a cool-ass person, like a real, genuine, down-to-earth, good person. And even more than that, just, like, talent-wise, it's just, like, upper echelon. I always say, like, her and, like, Anderson .Paak are, like, probably the best musicians, just overall full musicianship when it comes to, like, her songwriting, her vocals, ability to play 5-7 different instruments and still make records, hit records, you know? And I always have, like, an admiration and respect for, like, my peers, especially when they execute in music and musicality at an extremely high level.
And then also Dirk is on that too.
For sure.
Now, I didn't see that one coming. I ain't gonna lie. How did that happen?
You know, it's funny, man. Dirk has also been a homie of mine, like, the last couple of years, bro. Like, since I came in the game. I remember when my first album came out, he showed me a lot of love and support on that. Whenever I see Dirk, it's just, it's funny because we kind of occupy two different spaces. People wouldn't expect me to be cool with a Dirk. You know what I'm saying? But he's always just been a real nigga, man, that always showed genuine love and support. I consider him like a friend of mine in this, for real. And I don't overuse that word. Yeah. And so as soon as I made that song, I said, and it's a weird combo, not a weird combo, but a different combo. I was like, as soon as I made that song, I was like, I'm going to get her and Dirk on it.
Wow.
As I made that song, because I knew both of their vocal patterns would execute on it. As soon as I made the song, I was like, I'm gonna get her and Dirk.
I mean, I know I caught the early version with just you, but I love that song, bro.
Nah, thank you. I appreciate that.
I fucking love that song.
Another moment that I feel like changed the trajectory of your career early on, obviously, was the old niggas freestyle. Everybody was talking about it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And it stamped like, yo, all right, I've arrived. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I'm here to talk about my stuff. Did you get pressed from anybody at that point?
Nah, I ain't get pressed from anybody.
Nobody.
Nah, I mean, who is going to press me off that?
I mean, you know, sometimes people just might be in their feelings because of the messaging. Some people may not have understood it. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't get pressed at all. If anything, I was embraced. That thing got me embraced.
Cole fucked with it.
For sure.
Yeah, I got embraced, honestly, you know, so I didn't get pressed by anyone.
Good.
Now, when you talk about, Parables Remix.
Uh-huh.
Bro, M.
Yeah.
God MC.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we were just talking about Juice and how you wouldn't admit that Juice got you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you say, from your perspective, that M got you on the Parables Remix?
It just depends what you're looking for. You know what I'm saying? For real.
He gonna wait till M gone? He be like,
No. Listen, I would go, her got me on Chronicles. Facts. She spazzed on that verse. I would say that. Like, I need some love. I need some wine. Yeah. They give me more. She got me on that joint.
She did that.
With M, if we just speaking from a pure technicality standpoint, yeah, for sure, all day. You can say that all day.
He got that.
It's for sure. And I just try to make, you know, like, early on in my career, I would just try, every time I'm on a song with somebody, like, I'm just trying to out-rap you.
Facts.
Like, but as I grow as an artist, I'm just trying to make the best music as possible.
Yeah.
You can say Wayne might have got me on Sinister, but I threw the oop for him.
I was going there next.
But I threw the oop for him to do that because I could have rewrote my verse after I got his verse. You know what I'm saying? And same with Eminem, I could have came in with new verses. But I'm like, dog, I just want to make the best music possible.
I don't want
to just change my whole verse so the song is just a dick swinging contest.
I love
of
that.
Of like who can rap, had the most bars, the most double entendres and similes. I can do that shit in my sleep with the best of them, in my opinion, you know?
Right.
And I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but I can do that. I've been doing that. That's come so easy to me, just rapping, bars, entendre, wordplay, all of these things. That shit is simple to me. I can do that so easy. I'm trying to make the best music and the best song possible, you know?
What if, for sure.
I love that.
What if the moment warrants for you to actually have to rewrite it? Have you ever gone in and said, damn, okay, I got to redo this.
Fuck that, I rewrite this shit?
I got to redo this verse.
Not on my own accord. Not on my own accord, to be honest.
Okay.
Nah, because I feel like that first, I already overthink by nature, but I think your first instinct is always your best. And what you lay down on the track first is always your best to me, in my opinion, from what I found out.
Now, I've seen in an interview that you said, you know, being in L.A. was a culture shock for you. One, have you adjusted to the L.A. lifestyle being out here? And two, what were the things that kind of like took you off guard, you know, being out here for the first time? Just even traveling from city to city, like just from, you know, being from where you're from.
You know, I don't even live in L.A. full time. Okay. I kind of go back. Gotcha. I go back and forth quite often from L.A., New York, and D.C. I kind of just like to live like a nomad, like a true artist, you know, to move around. So I'm not out here like full time.
Okay.
But I say that to say when I first just got out here, it wasn't L.A. in part because it's too different. You're Mr. West Coast, so you know. It's a difference it's between different. L.A. and the entertainment space.
That's what I was
you know,
because
within the entertainment space, most people aren't even from L.A. that are within the thing, you know. So it was mainly that kind of, it didn't catch me off guard, but I kind of learned how I had to move and maneuver and just take things for what it is. You know, don't ever have a sense of entitlement. That, like, you notice even throughout this interview, when I'm speaking on certain artists, I'll be like, I'm not going to over-exaggerate it and say, like, sure. It's deeper than what it is a lot of the time. Like, if I say somebody is, like, a friend of mine, it's because I really fuck with them and the feeling is coming from a mutual space. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to act like I'm best friends with a nigga just because we on a song together when in reality, it's just music. You know what I'm saying? It's just a mutual respect sort of thing as peers within this ecosystem. But I say that to say me just learning just how to maneuver, move, and operate and realize that not everybody come from a genuine, pure place, especially within the space of entertainment. I mean, it's like that in life.
For sure.
But especially within the entertainment space, like everybody you run into isn't going to be pure. People are going to have ulterior motives.
Facts. Was that an easy adjustment for you?
Yeah, honestly, okay. Man, because like it's like, man, this shit is easy, bro. Like it's whatever career path you take is going to be a certain. It's like when you go to work, you can't be over friendly with certain coworkers. Facts. Or your bosses. You might talk shit about your boss to a coworker, and you think this coworker is your man, the good man. And then he's telling your boss everything you say in order to get them to a higher level.
Right.
You can say the same thing can happen in the music. Talking about your label CEO to a fellow artist that signed to the same label thinking this nigga fuck with you and then he telling the CEO. You get what I'm saying?
It's in your album shelf.
And not to say that this happened to anything, but just as an example of just like me knowing how to maneuver and move and just honestly, but just being myself more than anything and just being... Even if I realize some people ain't genuine or have ulterior motives or certain expectations or just moving weird, different, like, I'm going to just be myself regardless. And I ain't finna act like, you know, I'm the realest nigga in this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like nah, everybody got their own thing, bro. But I just see everything for what it is, bro. Like, I don't expect, like I said, any type of love and light or support I get from anybody, I cherish it and I appreciate it because I think, as soon as people realize that, don't nobody owe you nothing, bro. Nothing. Nobody in it. Niggas you think is your best friends in this rap shit. Niggas that you think really down, fuck with you. Like, nah, don't expect nothing, bro. Because they don't owe you anything. And I think once people get rid of a self-sense of entitlement or overly sense of self-importance, everything becomes easier.
I hope people take that message to the heart. Because I've seen a lot of talented individuals not know how to maneuver in this business, and it stops them because they don't know how to tackle that. You know what I'm saying? They don't know how to tackle how to maneuver within the business and, you know, maybe taking things too personally, and they let that get in the way of the actual music itself. So I'm glad you spoke on that.
It's a couple of things that I wanted to get to before we let you go. You dedicated to your grandmother, Janet Dunston, right?
Yeah.
I just lost my grandma, too. So
oh, damn, I'm sorry to hear about that.
Rest in peace to the grandma. It's all good.
Rest in peace, grandma.
But the family... I also know that you don't get no special treatment when you go to the house.
Yeah,
right?
None at all.
So what's the most irritating chore or task that you've had to do when you went back to the crib? Like, what's something that just like, bro, like, are you serious?
That was kind of like the era of like when I was first coming up.
Yeah.
I think my mom was just trying to instill me like.
Keep you grounded.
Yeah, exactly. But now, man, she be trying that and I still do it. I'm not going to act like holier than thou, but like. I might get a maid when she go to the grocery store. I might get, like, a cleaning service and just...
Let him do it.
Get that shit done with, honestly.
But what's the smallest, like, task that you've done? Like, what's something that's just like, bro, like, are you serious?
Like, mowing the lawn, bro. I mowed the lawn this past Christmas.
Oh, shit. I don't even do that. I gotta go out there.
I gotta wear a ski mask. You know what I'm saying? So niggas don't. You feel me? Not on no like.
So niggas TMZ.
Like, not yet, and I don't know holier than thou. Like, you know, I'm too good to mow the lawn, but more so like for a safety thing. Reason, yeah. You know, got so you. People don't know like where my mama stay or where I'm at right now.
I feel that.
On some shit like that. And so yeah, like yeah, nigga, me damn cutting that damn grass, nigga.
That's a huge ass task though.
That's fucked up. I ain't gonna lie.
Like, taking out the trash and maybe wash the dishes.
Nah, I'm finna get that John Deere fucking the joint you get. Drive it. I do that. Honestly, you know what's funny, man? I might sound like an old man, but cutting grass is kind of a vibe, honestly.
It's
like,
therapeutic.
No one's ever said that.
No, but
Rick Ross said that.
Nah, for real, it is.
Rick Ross said cutting grass is kind of a vibe.
Nah, he didn't say it in that way.
I'm going to tell you, it's because I never do no shit like that.
Right.
So, you know, when you got to do that every week or 2 weeks, it's not a vibe at all. Right. It's like a chore, but like I'll do that like once a year.
Yeah.
You know, so right. It's kind of like a calming thing for me where I'm able to think, listen to some of my music and just ride out.
Congrats on High Level.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I got to get you some gear as well.
Oh yeah. You got the new shit going.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, congrats on High Level.
Thank you.
Now, is this High Level you plan to build that completely out? Like we're talking about full artists, producers, writers.
Everything. Content, creative, producers, artists, writers, creative directors. We already got in-house videographers, photographers, in-house A&Rs, in-house management, in-house A&Rs, if I didn't say that already, in-house marketing and digital strategy teams, you know? And we just looking to help all creatives in whatever facet you want to just build and utilize the relationships, the Rolodex we have and the information that we have access to in order to take creatives. Because that's all it takes, man, is just having a team and just building. That's sort of something I'm just figuring out too, like what it takes, like building a mastermind alliance of like-minded individuals.
Facts.
Who are, because I used to try to do everything on my own, honestly. Even as a professional artist, I'm trying to do everything on my own. And you know what? I still end up being better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
that in these specified, not in music, but like at these specified things. But I say that to say that part of being a good leader is recognizing talent and able to put talent in the spaces in which they're able to flourish in realizing who are the experts in your craft. That's like me coming to you trying to tell you how to do you've been doing this long. You ain't what Ye said this way, like you ain't got the education.
Yeah.
You ain't got the answers. And so I try to let the people who are experts in their craft and in their field that are tried and true, especially like with my situation, like just let them handle it and not try to dictate any and everything, but still have a grasp and control over, you know, my destiny, if that makes sense.
Now as far as High Level, is there artists already that you are like looking at? Is there somebody that's standing out that stand out to you?
We have a couple artists on the radar, but to be honest, I haven't found the one that's just like
the
one yet. And I don't want to get into the point to where I'm just getting hot handed because I want to sign somebody just to sign somebody, because I will be doing that artist a disservice.
Facts.
If I'm just signing them just for the sake of signing somebody to my brand, and then like a couple months later, I'm like not believing in it, how you get what I'm saying, shit, and that's just like a terrible place to put somebody else, another human being in. And so I'm just waiting until I find the one that I'm like, okay, you are unequivocally, undoubtedly the
guy.
Whatever, I put all my chips on you, you know. Right. So I want to do it. I don't want to halfway do it, you know.
All right, the year can't end without Cordae doing what, man? This is the manifestation part. All right, it doesn't. It can be music related. It can be a personal thing, but the year can't end without Cordae doing what.
Getting 25 M's this year. I'm just going straight
last
shallow
year you
made
with 7
it.
Mil.
Allegedly.
According to Uncle
Sam. Or according to myself. You know niggas be lying in their music.
Hey, look, I listen to the music.
Yeah, nah,
I'm
fucking
I'm a hip hop nigga. I just listen to the music. You know?
25 M's. 25 M's.
Yeah, net. Gotcha. That's
net. There
gross
you go.
And net is different.
There you go.
I can't rap about it if it's gross, because boy, that gross and net percentage difference.
Oh, they come. Hey, you know, Cordae, this
does.
Yes.
Man, that gross and net be. I ain't rapping about it if it ain't net.
I
can't rap about a gross. Nah, I need that 25 net.
Facts. Now we do this.
Well, that'd be a great year.
Yeah, man.
Oh, what? 25 net? That means the. Anyway.
I want to know what the shallow purchase would be.
The shallow purchase? Mm-hmm, at sis? That point. Put it down. Plural yeah. in that mug.
There you go.
Boy, I'm having that shit on with the jury. I know niggas talk. You know what's funny? I hate how people took like that one quote when I'm talking about like the jury shit because, not hate. Well, people gonna take what they did. It is what it is, right? But if you look good and you feel good and you do good, sometimes, man, like I never knock jewelry because, like, man, you spending that money on that jewelry might make you feel like you that motherfucking nigga, dog. That might make you feel like, man, I really came from nothing and now I'm able to ice my damn self out. Right. That way you approach, you go to that damn studio and you're gonna evoke that emotion on them records and come out with great music. So, like, nigga, if that's you, like, get that motherfucking chain, bro. Because if you look good, you feel good. And when you feel good, you do good. And when you do good, they pay good. So, man. And also, jewelry can be an investment into self, into your happiness. You put that chain, these are like emblems of like our tribes, if you would. You know, like Dirk got the OTF chain. That's like Dirk and his OTF tribe. You get what I'm saying? Just bringing it back to a historical perspective. But even more than that, like, whatever, like, if it make you feel good, then do it. It can be an investment, again, into your personal. You wearing that chain every day can genuinely make. You can have a fucked up day and look down at your neck and wrist and be like, you know what, man? Shit is going to be all right. Yeah. You know, it can be an investment into your happiness. Yeah. My bad, I just went on.
No, it's all good, because I heard you say you bought a chain.
And I was going to say, I like the fact that you're talking about investing, too, and it reminded me of the episode you was on Earn Your Leisure.
Yeah.
And just talking Fire. About getting in, you know, getting Thank into you. The investments, the stocks and all that. I think more of those conversations need to be had because, somebody, you know, people are looking up to you.
Yeah.
You're a role model, you know, so a lot of people
Which is crazy to me still.
And it's an amazing thing. So just even the idea of having those conversations, I just want to salute you on that as well.
Nah, I appreciate that. Sure. Thank you.
Now, we do this thing called the homegrown head scratcher.
Okay.
These are elementary school and middle school test questions.
Oh shit.
I got three of them for you.
Okay, now, bet.
We have our listeners call in
uh-huh.
and they win tickets whether you got it right or wrong. They just guess if you got it right or wrong.
Okay,
so
cool.
Even if you don't know the answer, just guess.
Okay, cool.
All right, you ready for the first one?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. What is the center of a sale called?
The center of a sale?
Yes.
I'm going to get that wrong.
Yes.
A center of a sale? Like the boat?
No. A sale. Like an atom. What's the center of a cell called? you got to see his
wait,
eyes.
Wait, let me finish. Mitochondria?
No.
Atom?
No.
Nucleus?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But you still got it wrong.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Third time was the charm.
Okay.
Y'all can give me that. But let's, based on the other two.
All right. Next one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
How many points is love in tennis?
Shit, I wouldn't know that. You asking the wrong nigga.
Yes.
Ironically asking the wrong nigga. Four.
No.
Six?
No.
Seven?
No.
That's
a touchdown,
bro.
Fool.
Oh, yeah.
It's zero.
Oh, damn, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'm burnt.
Third one.
All right, here we go. Last one. What force mm-hmm. was discovered and named by Sir Isaac Newton in 1665?
16? Shit.
I mean, not 17, right? 16.
16? God damn, that long motherfucker, boy. God damn.
It's 1665.
The
you want me
long?
To read it again?
Yeah. Read the question. Run that back.
All right. What force was discovered and named by Sir Isaac Newton in 1665?
Gravity?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
There you go.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes you'll doubt yourself.
Hey,
like,
sometimes you got to think high level.
High level, baby. You know that wasn't saying? High level. Don't drop high level on that one.
Yo, man, is there anything else you want the people to know? You know, I know the album is out right now from Bird's Eye View. You know, the reception has been great. Is there anything that you want the folks to know that we haven't discussed in this conversation?
Oh yeah, the tour.
We finna tour. I got the Novo show coming up.
Facts, March. Yep.
Yeah, Novo show in March. I hope to see y'all there.
I'm there.
Hope to see y'all there as well, you know. Mm-hmm. And I got this tour coming up from a Bird's Eye View tour. We going to 30 cities, 30 states all across the country. We're going to have a good time, man.
Is there anybody that you would like to see? I mean, is there anybody that you're going with? Is there anybody like special guests?
No, to be honest, bro, I was saving my damn fucking open slot for a high level artist. No, to keep it a buck with you.
Yeah.
Like, and
but
so.
There's no high level artists yet.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, there's no high level. I was literally like, that was just like, okay, that's the easy fucking
Let one of
plan.
The videographers rap.
Man, you know what's funny? I told one of my the good men the other day, I'm like, nigga, I'm just finna write for y'all, bruh. And you just need to get on. I'm like, for real. Like, I'm dead. This is a real thing. This is a real thing. I was just like, man, let me just write some raps for you. You got the story to tell, you know. You ain't like a super ugly nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just go.
Hey, ugly niggas is thriving in 2022.
Oh, for sure.
We out here, bro.
Shit,
we,
myself included.
We winning,
shit,
bro.
Nigga, hell yeah. Ugly niggas is...
If you can do what you did for yourself, I'll have hope. So I'm good. I'm not tripping.
Man, cute niggas is like, you know what? I'm not going to put ugly nigga over myself, man. I think I'm handsome, dog. I got main character syndrome. But I say that to say ugly niggas is definitely winning, for sure. For sure, man, ugly niggas is winning. It's like a rule of thumb, like the last 5 years, by the way.
Let's get it.
For sure.
Corday, man, appreciate you coming on through, man. Homegrown Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head. Mm-hmm. The Bird's Eye View out right now. Go support that, man. Appreciate you.
Tell your motherfucking mama and old ass grandma about that shit too, nigga.
There you go.